Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms to Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms of preteens, teens, and young adults. My mission is to first and foremost support and encourage you, mom, so that you can live well and reclaim your life. Two, this show will help you have the best possible relationships with your teens so that you can communicate, motivate, and guide them effectively and actually enjoy them. And third, I will bring you top-notch guests who will share the newest in adolescent research and trends so you can be prepared and aware of what your teens are facing today. Always, you will leave each episode armed with practical parenting tips. Welcome back to the 265th episode of Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. I'm Colleen O'Grady, the host of the show. Hey, beautiful podcast community. I would love to interact with you and see your faces. So on May 3rd, around lunchtime, I'm having a one-hour event on Zoom called Ask Colleen. If you and I were sitting in my private practice office across from each other, what question would you ask me about your tween, teen, or young adult? Where are you not 100% clear on your boundaries or how to approach an issue? What feels impossible to you because what you're doing is not working? Where have you given up? How's your energy, mom? Are you tired of all the drama? Do you feel full of I feel good energy and loving your life, or are you all mothered out? And for all you senior moms, how are you feeling about letting go of your teens? Is time feeling precious to you? And what does that mean anyway to let go? So often, one tweak can really decrease your drama and suffering. And if you have a question, mom, it doesn't mean you're a bad mom or you're not doing things right. It means actually that you're an invested mom. Ask Colleen, I will answer your questions for free. You can send me your questions ahead of time and protect your privacy, or I can interact on Zoom with you. Again, it's a free event. All you have to do is register at ColleenO'Grady.com. Colleen has two L's and two E's. So it's ColleenO'Grady.com/AskColleen. Also, if you would rather have a private one-hour individual session with me where I can give you mom coaching based on 50,000 hours of experience, you can go to my website, ColleenO'Grady.com, again, two L's and two E's, and email me from there and tell me you would love some mom coaching. I will contact you and we can hop on the phone for a few minutes and see if it's a good fit. Our guest today has a very fresh and unique perspective on what's next for high school graduates. I believe there are many paths to success, and our guest today would agree. You will be shocked at how many careers don't even need a college degree. Degree Free Co., founded by Hannah Maruyama, has over 4 million likes on TikTok. And here's what Hannah says about herself. I help parents and teens and young adults between the ages of 16 to 20 create custom career roadmaps that don't require them to buy college degrees. From tech to trades, midwife apprentices, drone pilots, dog grooming, sales, software developers, organ transplant techs, voice acting, watchmakers, salvage drivers, recruiters, video game animation, anything. My husband Ryan and I run at Degree Free on TikTok, which has over 100 million views, and the Degree Free podcast, a top U.S. careers podcast. Welcome, Hannah Maruyama.
Thank you so much. I've been looking forward to this ever since I reached out to you, and I am very excited to get into our conversation today.
Oh, yes. This is going to be amazing. So why did you create Degree Free I know you have programs and all sorts of things, but why did you create that, or why are you interested in that?
Sure. So my background and my story is that I actually had a wonderful soccer coach who was also my AP history teacher in school. And I was very, we'll call it bored at school. And he pulled me aside one day, my junior year in high school, and he just said, "You need to get out of here." He's like, "Go dual enroll at the local college and start knocking off the classes." He's like, "You don't need to be here." And to this day, I'm very grateful for that advice. He was a very influential figure in my life. He ended up walking me down the aisle at my wedding, actually, like my high school soccer coach. And he told me that. And so I started dual enrolling. I was in Georgia at the time. And so they have a pretty good dual enrollment program. So I fully dual enrolled at the local university and I was going there full time. So I didn't go to high school my senior year of high school. I was in college. And I think that if that's an option for people, that's a really good way for them to test the waters of college without actually having to pay for it. It lowers the financial and time risk a lot because your child has to be in school anyway, so they might as well be on a college campus because now you can just skip to the end, basically. While I was there, I ended up writing an op-ed for the university paper, and they ended up asking me to write a weekly column while I was there. But the reason that I wrote the op-ed was because I had written an opinion piece for one of my classes, and the teacher, my professor, ended up failing me because they did not agree with my opinion.
Oh,
Even though
wow.
it was an opinion piece, that was kind of the first thing that just gave me a bad taste in my mouth. Because if you're writing an opinion piece about a piece of economic policy and you fail someone because you do not agree with their opinion as a professor, that to me says a lot about the lack of, I think, open-mindedness and critical thinking that I think is growing on in universities and colleges currently in our country. And this was years ago now. This was almost 10 years ago that happened to me. So I ended up writing for the paper. They paid me, which was cool because I was the youngest paid writer ever for this university paper. But I just kept going to these classes and I was still bored. I was still bored and I just couldn't see the practicality for me. Because I was going for a journalism communications, which at the time was the default major most girls. I've realized too, there's a trend. So prior to my age, which I'm the tail end of millennial, so I'm almost Gen Z, and the communications journalism was really big. Right before that, it was marine biology. Right now, it's psych. Everybody's going for psych. All the girls are going for psych, and I'll get into that later about the data that I've gathered on what jobs kids are choosing because they are choosing from a certain menu. But anyway, yeah. So I just ended up. I remember clear as day this one day. I had gone to an art class, and I've always been artistically inclined. So drawing, painting. I was a commission painter for a little while, but I just went to this art class, and this teacher just kept going on and on about Jackson Pollock and how deep his artwork was, and I just hate Jackson Pollock. This is just my opinion. And I just sat there and I was bored and I started writing. I was working on a fiction book that I've never finished. And I just went, "Do I need to be here? I don't think I do." I was also working full time at the time. And I was just like, "You know what? I'm done here." So I remember that day I sat in the courtyard. I read some poems out of a Longfellow book from the library. And then I just looked at the campus and I was like, "Yeah, I'm done." And I just left and never came back. That was my
Yeah.
experience in school. Yeah.
So you
And
have
then,
quite a following on TikTok.
yes.
And so I was watching some of your videos that are pinned, and which got me really interested. And so I remember there's one video where you're talking about like jobs that you don't really even need a degree for. So can you talk about that?
Absolutely. So this is my favorite thing to talk about. That's pretty much what degree free is about. Because after my experience in college, I worked a bunch of different jobs. The real tipping point for me was I believe I was 22, 23. I worked restaurant industry. I worked on a dolphin boat. I worked as a nanny. I did all kinds of stuff. I was a swim coach for a while. I was a lifeguard, and I had these different experiences, a lot of them teaching customer service and basic sales skills. And the first big office job that I got was a job that at a nonprofit, at a journalism nonprofit that required me to have a college degree. But it obviously didn't because they hired me without it and didn't care that I didn't have one. And it was just because I applied. And I started to question, I'd always kind of questioned the degree requirements. I just don't like rules in general. And so I like to test and see if they're actually real. And so after this experience, I went, okay, I'm 22. You know, This is a $55,000 starting salary job at a nonprofit, and I don't have any formal qualifications. I just applied and I really wanted the job. So I just interviewed very sincerely, and that's why they hired me. And then, after a while working there, I just decided that one, the nonprofit industry and that business was not for me. But then I went back out into the job market and I went back and I did, went back to the restaurant industry. I started a business, but COVID happened and laid everybody off because I was working in tourism and I had to get a new skill really quickly. And so I went through a method that I now call finding a job backwards, which is I decided how much money I needed to make. And I decided how quickly I needed to make it. And then I went out and I looked for jobs that fit those criteria for me, because that was for me what was important. And then I just worked backwards and I looked at these job listings and I picked skills that I thought I could learn that were accessible online, learned those skills, and then I applied. And the first job that I applied for, Salesforce administrator job, which is a technical database that companies use to manage their customer data. And I studied for 31 days to get this technical certification that often is legally required depending on the type of company you're working for. And they hired me. I studied for 31 days with no technical experience, no computer experience, computer illiterate. And then 45 days later, I had a remote 4-day work week tech job for $70,000. And that really cemented it for me because on my offer letter was computer science degree requirement, which again, I'm now noticing a trend for. So for myself from different industries, I realize it's actually not about the companies are not hiring for degrees. They're hiring for potential or skills and or specific certifications that they actually need. And that really just cemented it for me. And I started to go, wait a minute, how many different jobs is this the case? And I just started testing actual requirements and realized there's a big difference between requesting a degree and requiring a degree. Requiring a degree often is only for legal licensure. So you would be a good example of that. A therapist is going to have certain degrees in order to get a legal license to do what you were doing. And that's how parents should litmus test to see, is it legally required for a license? And then they work backwards on whether or not their child needs one or if they can afford to get one, which is those are different calculations. This is a long-winded answer to your
No,
question.
that's great. So I know another one of your videos is that college isn't a guarantee. So what do you mean by that?
So what's happening right now, and I hate to see it, and TikTok is a really interesting place to watch this happen because of the age demographic that is on there, but they're posting about their difficulty finding work. And that is because a few things are happening at the same time. One, the MC Burning Glass Institute did a study on the removal of degree requirements. And this is degree requirements that are actually requests, right? So they started studying how often those were being removed from job listings. So this down credentialing started actually in 2014. There was an uptick after 2008 because companies were being really picky about who they hired. And they were trying to thin the applicant pool. And they did that by introducing degree requirements because it's kind of an outsourcing in a way to the quality of individual that you're getting in theory. However, that didn't work. And so what happened was companies, there was a 6-year turnaround where they realized, wait a minute, we're not getting the quality of applicants that we thought we would by doing this. And also they realized that they were eliminating people that were completely qualified to do the work. And so there's been a down credentialing, which is the formal term for this, across all industries, high and mid-skill jobs since 2014. Harvard Business Review also found that, and this kind of reflects what I just told you, but that there's actually a request for degrees because a good example would be like manufacturing managers, which are like mid to high skill jobs. They found that 67% of the people in those jobs, even if the job listing requires a degree, are degree free. So there's a disconnect between what companies will post and who they actually hire. And unfortunately, the people who eliminate themselves from degree requirements are the type of people that employers actually want. They're people who are conscientious. They're not like me, right? They're not rule breakers. They're people that follow the rules, that are respectful, that are reliable, that are very consistent. And they're eliminating those people when they would be there. They would apply for those jobs. They would excel in those jobs. And so that's why now they're removing the line from job descriptions because they realized that the type of people they want to hire that are good employees, that are extremely high quality, are eliminating themselves from the job search and from applying to jobs. And so that's just a really interesting thing that's been happening. But on TikTok, you see all these kids who are graduating and they have one degree, they have multiple college degrees. A lot of the people I see happening to are women who buy multiple college degrees in low-paying fields, because women buy the majority of college degrees, and we also tend to buy degrees in low-paying fields. And they're getting out of school and going, wait a minute, I bought this master's degree, and now I have $90,000 worth of student debt, and I wanted to be a museum curator, but the museum curator only pays $45,000 a year. And there is a disconnect because the salary of the job didn't change from the time these individuals went into school to the time they graduated. Not really. Maybe it fluctuated by 3%, but it's not a significant amount of money. It's just that they thought, and they've been conditioned to believe by the high school system and then also by colleges. It's implied, and the marketing implies to them that they will be making enough to pay back their loans when they get out of school, and that people are going to want to hire them over other people. And that also there's a gated group of jobs that's just for them, and that degree-free people don't have access to those pool of jobs. But that's just not the case. And so they're competing, one, with a lot more people than they thought they would. Two, companies are not gating those jobs off from other people, so they're not protected just sitting there waiting for them. And then three, they're not making anywhere near the amount of money that they thought they would. And so they're very upset, understandably so, right? They're understandably very disgruntled because they were told, hey, if you just go do these things like you're supposed to do, then this is what will happen and you'll be given these things. And then they're not being given those things. And now they're very upset about that. Again, completely understandably, because now they have to pay for their loans. It's not a college degree is not a guarantee of a type of work. It's not a degree. It's not a guarantee of a certain type of pay. And that's what I think people need to know, because that risk that they're taking for their children is a one-way road. If your child takes out a student loan, they are legally obligated to pay it back. It is not something they're bankruptcy exempt loans. And so it's a one-way road. Once you go down it, you can't back up. There are some loan forgiveness programs, but it's risky to rely on government loan forgiveness for large loans like that, which a lot of people are finding out.
So much truth in what you're saying. And I think, kind of, also on the other hand, is that there's so much pressure about getting into college. It is freshmen in high school are freaking out and feeling like they're not going to have a future and life is going to be over if they don't get into a certain school, And I think we've gotten very narrow as a culture in terms of what success looks like the image of success. And you're just talking about that doesn't really actually guarantee success.
Yes. And then there's also just defining success in general, because
Right.
a lot of like, and that's kind of speaks to what you were just saying, which is, we say that going to college and doing these things are what create, or what make you successful. But in reality, success is your child achieving the things and the type of life that they would like to live. And so that's something that I think too really needs to be that's and that's kind of one of the things that I talk about with parents. I'm working on a free like parent guide right now. It's a 45 pages long. It's huge. It started as 3 pages, like here's a conversation guide, and now it's gigantic. But it basically one of the things that I tell parents is you have got to sit your child down. And I know it's hard, and I know they don't want to do it. And I know that this is a difficult conversation to have, but it must be had. It is essential, because parents are the greatest resource that kids have. Nobody cares as much as their parents. Nobody. Nobody. And the conversation they have to have is where do you want to live? What do you want to live in? And then how much money do you want to make? Do you have other goals? And it doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong goals. If their entire goal is to, if they want to travel the world for 2 years and that's one of their big life goals, they want to climb Kilimanjaro, that's totally fine. If they want to own a small piece of property and have their own chickens and a garden, that's totally fine. Success is them achieving the type of life that they would want to live. For some kids, it's a, for some of the boys I work with, it's like they want to be one I'm working with wants to be a professional UFC fighter, right? But he still has to work. He still needs a job. And that job needs to pay him enough that and give him enough time to be able to go to jujitsu and practice and work, And so it's all about what success looks like for them, because success shouldn't be this random standard of you have bachelor's degree, you have how you have this and this and this. It's what do you want out of life, and what do you want your week to week and day to day life to look like? And then does a college degree, one, is it necessary? And two, can you afford it, or is it going to hinder you from actually living the type of life that you want to live? And that's
Yeah.
something that parents have to ask those questions because no one else is going to.
Yeah. Well, I was a big believer in college. I mean, I have a BA and I have 2.5 masters, and I loved getting all of them. One of them was an MFA in painting and drawing, so that did not guarantee a job, but I had a lot of fun doing it. And then, like you said, to be a licensed marriage and family therapist, licensed professional counselor, I did need a master's in marriage and family therapy. And so that was extremely useful. And I remember taking my daughter for a college visit because I had a lot of fun in college. I loved it completely. And so I took her to a college visit, and I'm just feeling like, oh, how fun it would be to be in this college campus, and this is going to be great. And I'm having all these happy feelings. And she's looking over the campus crying. And she just, like, that wasn't for her.
Just overwhelming.
Yeah, it wasn't for her. And she went to a high school for performing arts and was a dancer.
What type of dancer?
I mean, she learned all the different types, but of course, most of them like modern and contemporary. She had some injuries and when she was in dance. And so what she wanted to do was get a certification to become a massage therapist. And she wanted to, like, and help people in sports, because that's what happened to her. She had injured herself, and she wanted to help others who have been injured. And so that led her to get a neuromuscular kind of advanced certification in massage. I mean, she just loved it, and she just, like, would talk my ear off about anatomy, and she was just so excited about it. And I had taken her to an entrepreneur conference when she was probably 16. So then she kind of hurt. She was in a room of 200 women who were entrepreneurs, and she was part of these small groups. And so then they were talking about pricing and money and time and what your ideal clients were and what you really wanted. And that really stuck in her brain. And so my daughter is a little entrepreneur who is fearless about charging and has built a very nice business now in multiple cities. So, like, just super proud of her, but she had to kind of find her own way.
How pivotal do you think that that conference was? Because I bet at that age that burned in her mind, I'm sure.
It was so important. It was so important. I had no idea she ingested so much of it.
Oh, wow. And that's the power of finding a resource that suits your child at that time. Because how did that change her high school years?
She had a bigger vision than probably a lot of other people did, a part of the National Speakers Association. And so I was going to one of their conferences. And so she was like, so you want, you're changing the world. So how would I do that?
I can't imagine having your child ask you that question. I'm sure you're very proud.
I was. I mean, she's like, it was a total normal person. That question, like, blew me out of the water that she was thinking that. So I think that's what it did. It just expanded what's possible. And I know that you've probably seen this as a couple things that I see as a family therapist is that one is that parents who are helping with the finances or paying for college have a really strong opinion about what degree they should get because they don't want to waste their money. And so it's like, well, my parents don't want me to do this degree because that won't pay anything, so I need to get this degree.
I see a little bit of both of that. Obviously, the folks that I work with one-on-one, yes, they do, because they're very involved and very invested. But I do get a lot of questions from parents that are just, my child wants to do a film. What's the best degree? And I'm like, whoa, there's so many. We're way too far down the tracks. And all of this is the wrong question. It's one, my child wants to do film. And then two, recently I went a little viral for saying this because there was a couple news articles that got written about it that were not very nice. And they said that I was mean for saying this. But realistically speaking, and I come from this demographic, which is why I'm saying this, because I think it's unkind that we are not being realistic about the financial implications of this choice, too. But I said, if you are from middle and lower class families, there are some degrees that you cannot afford to buy. You just can't, because it will handcuff you into debt for the rest of your life. And this is not fear mongering. It's because The loans are not forgivable. If they were, this would be a totally different calculation, but they're not. It's very serious because it is one, once you're in, you're not out. That's just how it works. And I said, a good example, like I said, of that film question. Okay, film graduates carry some of the highest debt burden of anybody because film schools are oftentimes private and they're extremely expensive. And so one of the things I ask is, and I'm not joking, but do you have a tr does your child have a trust fund? Because that is how much debt you were looking at getting into. And if you do not have a trust fund, or there is not a significant amount of money saved or put in a 529 plan for that, your child needs to go just work in the industry and they need to work their way up. That's how they need to do it, because that's all connection, right? It's all doing work in that industry, and their child doesn't have to go buy a film degree to do that. They have to go work on a film set and they have to get experience and then find their way from there, because that's how you do it in certain industries, especially when they're creative and they have high cost on the front end. But yeah, so some parents have, you need to be a doctor or a lawyer or a CPA, engineer. That's another one, some STEM.
And that
But
makes total sense. And I have seen these college students come into my office and say they actually hate it.
so there's a couple things there that I would love to unpack. So one of them is that a lot of people, so a degree is not a guarantee, but STEM is also not a guarantee. 79% of STEM grads don't work in STEM. I don't think people know that that's the figure. It's staggering. And this is so my industry, like I currently am the head of operations at an AI machine learning company, which also puts me in a position to understand how AI is being used in jobs and in ATS. And this is something that I leverage that expertise a lot, because it's something that a lot of parents are really concerned about, is picking AI-proof jobs and job training. But we're in this ugly middle ground where the process, AI is not sentient. AI is specifically pattern recognition on a large scale, so large that a human being could not analyze that many data points and come to a conclusion about anything, because there's just too much information. And so the way it's being used right now and integrated into hiring practices, one is kind of iffy because there's a lot of legal implications to using AI to screen your candidates. And so a lot of it is actually filtering on applicant tracking systems that are tied into payroll systems. They are not the primary function. So ADP or large payroll companies, they have features that allow companies to tie their hiring and resumes and submitting applications into that system, but it's not its primary function. So it's oftentimes not well designed. It's kind of an afterthought, which is why the applying is so rough, because our whole country is in this workforce transition where removing degree requirements because it wasn't working, but also the ATS systems that are being used by a lot of like mid-size to larger companies are also in a transition where they try to use AI, but they're trying to change the filtering, and the back end that the recruiters look at is terrible and it looks like Windows 94. And so it's just this, it's kind of a culmination of a big messy thing. But STEM specifically is very, very much all skill-based. It's reflected in the fact that 56% of software developers currently, from the largest study of software developers ever done, is so that 56% of them are either self-taught or they have a degree in an irrelevant field, like fine arts, completely irrelevant software development. That is not the reason that they're good software developers. It's because they taught themselves online how to do it. And, another good example is AI and machine learning. The Sam Altman, who runs OpenAI, which is ChatGPT that everyone's familiar with, is degree free. Sam Altman, there are no degrees, or I think the first degree just came out for AI and machine learning. So if you look at high paying job listings for massive companies, for startups, companies like Notion, companies like Pinterest, companies like AWS, their machine learning engineers do not have college degrees. There's no college degree for that. STEM is progressing so quickly for the most part. The software part of it, the tech part of it, can't keep up. Colleges can't keep up with tech. And then you have engineering, and then you have, math and medicine, and then you have your science fields. And a lot of those people think, oh, if my child gets a STEM degree, they're going to be okay. But a good example of that would be like marine biology or biologists. Often that's not the case. They're going to be looking at a starting of around $30,000 to $40,000. It's going to take them years to the point where they can pay it off. Your engineers do okay sometimes, but it'll still take them a lot of time because their degrees are expensive. And so that's something that has to go into the calculation as well. Sorry, this is a lot because this is so like this is all I do. And so I care about the specifics of this and just giving a
Yes.
realistic picture because people think, "Oh, if I send my kid into a STEM field, they'll be fine." You have to again work backwards from that. What do they want? What are their goals? Is
Yeah,
that
yeah.
degree going to help them get to their goals?
This is such important stuff to sort through and think about, which I don't think a lot of us think about. So if they don't go to college, it's really important for your young teen or emerging adult to see that they're making some kind of progress in their life for their mental health and well-being. And that's not just working at Chick-fil-A or the job they would have worked at in high school. So if a kid was just like, I don't really like, they're thinking through some of these questions and they're thinking, yeah, I'm not even really sure what I would want to study. I don't want to waste your money. And so what is that pathway? What does that pathway look like?
So this is something that my husband Ryan and I run the Degree Free podcast. We have for almost going on 3 years now. So, and one of the things we do on there is we interview folks who are degree free. So again, we get a lot of software, we get a lot of tech people because of my wheelhouse. So again, AWS, Twitch, which is a streaming service. We've had folks from Meta on there, all of them degree free. Like head of marketing for Dell came on degree free, right? So it spans, spans quite a bit, but basically, we boil down this methodology so that all parents of all ages can use this to figure out as a compass, to figure out where they are and where their child is and where their child should go in general, so they do not get stalled out exactly as you're saying right now. Because I've seen that as well with the age range I work with. And so the general outline is there are five degree free pathways. Number one is get a job. And so the goal here is to get a job that is going to get them closer to where they want to go, be that a certain type of work or a certain income or a certain location that they want to work in. There's no right or wrong. It's just whatever your child is trying to do because they can always use these pathways to then pivot or go deeper into whatever they're trying to do. Number two is find an apprenticeship or on-the-job training, so OJT. So the way that parents can do this is they would need to look up apprenticeships or on-the-job training in their area for whatever pay their child's looking to make or whatever industry or career or job title their child is looking for. And literally, this is as simple as Googling paid apprenticeships, your location, and just seeing what comes up. Just explore. Because oftentimes exploring and having your kid go, no, I hate that, is just as effective as helping them ruling things in is just as helpful as ruling things out. So a lot of kids do feel if they went to community college, or I work with 16 to 20 year olds. So some of the people in that bracket went to community college and just were like, ah, I hate this. I don't like this. I don't want to do this. And then they feel like failures, but they're not. It's just the fact that, and I have to say, like, no, that's a huge win because you ruled that out. You're now not going to commit to doing the rest of that because you don't want to do it. And that's a giant waste of time and money. Like, if you don't want to do it, that's just as good. You know, there's value in that. But anyway, sorry. So pathway number two, find apprenticeship or on the job training. Pathway number three is earn a license or certification. Now, this could be anything. Anything under the sun, licenses and certifications are good because they show that you have a specific competency and you have been tested according to the standard for something. That's the same reason that your license has value. It's because you've been tested according to the agreed upon societal standard for something. And so that could be anything from being a notary to being a certified swim coach to cybersecurity certifications like CISSP or CompTIA Plus, which are extremely in demand right now. That could be what I did, which is Salesforce administrator or database certifications, but also be even more hands-on things. That could be certifications for massage therapy. That could be pilots. A lot of people don't realize that the Delta removed was the last airline to remove pilot cert degree requirements for pilots, and they did that at the end of 2022. So there's not a single US airline that requires pilots to have college degrees anymore. Not a single one. So people knowing that they can go get a drone pilot's license for $200, that their kids can learn how to do sewer line inspection if they want to go into the trades. And I try not to talk about the trades because I think a lot of people know are aware of a lot of the trades, and that's fine. I'm talking about other things that you can get certifications for. Funeral directing is another one that's a great job for people with a lot of empathy and extremely good job security and kind of an amazing high impact job too, because you help people that are going through the worst day of their life, you know, EMTs, organ transplant coordinators. That's another one that's certification based. Amazing job, pays really well, super interesting, very interesting for a lot of reasons. Medicine is a lot of that. But yeah, there's a ton. And then the pathway number four is build a business. And that seems like it's really intimidating. A lot of people get intimidated by that and go, oh, my child's not an entrepreneur. But your daughter, I mean, your daughter, I think probably had the heart of an entrepreneur already. And you just opened the door for her. But
Yes.
for a lot of people, if your child wants to go around and start a lawn care service, that's great. That's not a difficult thing to grow. It's knocking on doors and it's asking questions. And if your child has the want to do that, then that's fantastic. And we should let them do that. But that could be anything from, that applies to people with college degrees as well. This applies to anybody, but building a business is something that anyone can do. If you have graphic design skills or copywriting skills, you can go online, go on Fiverr, open an account, start freelancing. You can freelance in private by just messaging people and doing work for them and then sending them, start a Canva account, start doing basic design work, start charging for it, start charging an hourly rate, just like you would for babysitting. It's the same way to grow a digital online business. And services businesses are the easiest to start and scale. And then there's also potential for parents to approach local business owners, apprentice them via Pathway 2, and then eventually ask them to cash flow their businesses because boomers, baby boomers are retiring at a massive rate and all their small businesses are evaporating because their kids don't want them. And so there's a massive hole in the market for parents to say, hey, I will cash flow your retirement because they have no retirement plans and their businesses are going to just disappear. And so you can capture this stranded value, help your child get into a business if they've proven that they can grow it and want to run it, and then also pay out the retiree and everybody wins. It's such a beautiful thing. I've seen this happen a couple times. An embroidery shop was the most recent one that I saw, which is really cool. But I also saw it happen with a vet practice. And that one's interesting because the vet paid for the schooling of the vet tech to become a veterinarian to then take over the practice, which is very cool.
Wow.
But anyway, I'm very passionate about that. But number five is just learn a skill. This could be photography, this could be editing, this could be repairing mountain bikes. Anything under the sun, just learn a valuable skill, and that will lead you back to either pathway number one or sometimes pathway number four, which is building a business. So those are the five degree-free pathways that your child can do if they're not going to if they're not going to buy a college degree, or if they are and they still are lost. So just to review really quick, because that was a lot for parents and I took multiple tangents, but it's get a job, find a paid apprenticeship or on-the-job training, then it's earn a license or certification. Number four is buy a business, build or buy a business. And number five is learn a valuable skill. So those are the things your child can do other than go to college.
That's so good. That's so good because those are the kind of things that's going to make that young person feel like they're, it's going to make
Okay.
them feel good about themselves that they did it.
There's clear progress. They're on pathway number four. They're not going to college. They're on pathway number four. They're not going to college. They're on pathway number two. That's what they're doing.
That's so good. All right. So, what last advice would you have for the moms listening? And also, could you tell us a little bit about the program that you have?
The last advice for the moms that I would say, the biggest thing is you are your child's best defense for getting rushed into a decision that is permanent. You have to stand in front of them for this because the college marketing is so pervasive. Like high schools are college pipelines. They are designed to sell loans by policy. I'm not saying that teachers are necessarily part of this. I'm not saying anything other than the fact that policy is designed to push your child to take out these loans as soon as they turn 18, sometimes before that. And it is permanent. It is not undoable. And so you have to screen and make sure that that is the right decision for your child because it's an extremely high risk one that they're making very young and very uninformed. It's just something you really have to prove. The biggest thing too is watch and make sure because something that's happening is college enrollment was dropping. And what happened when that happened is multiple states, in order to make their schools look better, started to require graduates in order to graduate high school, started to require the graduates to fill out a FAFSA and submit applications to three colleges. People think that's not a big deal, but it's kind of like applying for a car loan and just saying, oh, you should just apply for it just in case you want to buy a car. They're young and they're being told they must go. And so what happens is if you fill out the FAFSA, there's a 96% chance that you are going to go to college, even if that is not the right decision for you. And that's the reason that matters is because most people who sign up to go to college do not end up graduating. Those that do take 5.5 years. The ultimate cost of an average bachelor's degree right now is $104,000. If it goes to 5.5 years, like 60% of graduates do, it's $156,000. The NCES and BLS data just came out on the total cost in lost wages, tuition, and interest. It's $500,000. It is a very serious, very weighty decision. And if that's the right one for your child, only you guys can make that decision, but just know that so that you're informed about the financial exposure that is going to go into that decision. And if you can realistically handle that, because it's different than it was before. Even then, when I was facing this decision 10 years ago, the cost of college doubles every 9 years. It's very serious. Like you and people, for anyone questioning whether or not I'm telling this, you can look up this data. It's publicly available. A lot of it is averaged from NCES and BLS data or DOE data, which is the 1 in 4 college graduates are making 32K median right now. So that's just the realistic outcome. Knowing the realistic outcome will help you screen on what makes sense for your child to do, and also relieve some of the stress on you for immediately not pushing them into that right after high school. Like, do not let your child get pushed off the college cliff if that is not the right decision for them. That's the biggest advice to moms, is just like be empowered. It's okay. That it's not a failure if your child doesn't go right into a college. It's actually a win because they're not doing something that might not be the right decision for them. The college will always be there. It will always take your money. It's a business. That's what it does. And so don't feel rushed just because of the graduation timeline. And then my program, I work one-on-one with 16 to 20-year-olds. And what I do is I take their interest inventory, which is basically what I just talked to you about. I ask them a bunch of questions about their goals. And sometimes it's easier for them to tell me than their parents because I'm an outside third party. And then the second thing I do is I give them a list of jobs that they've probably never heard of. Most high schoolers I work with can only name 6 to 8 jobs. Almost all of them require them to buy college degrees because high schools teach from a college menu. They don't teach vocational creativity, which is my second session, which is, hey, here's all the things that fit the criteria you just gave me. And then third is a skills gap assessment where I say, okay, these are the existing skills and talents you have. These are the ones you need to start applying for these jobs. Let's figure out how long it's going to take you to learn them. And the last thing I do is a custom career curriculum. So that could be anything. I find and vet educational options for families. So this could be anything from salvage diver school. I just found a watchmaker academy for one of the girls I'm working with who's really into Legos. And she is stoked.
Wow, that's
So
so cool.
just, mining for local and hyper specific options that fit and cost less than a college degree. And so that's basically what I'm doing. I know you got a heart out, so.
Just fantastic. Well, I will definitely put all your contact info in the show notes, and this has been just fantastic and just really helpful.
Yeah, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This concludes this week's episode of Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. If this podcast has been helpful, I would absolutely love it if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. This makes it easier for other moms like you to find the support and encouragement they need. Also, my award-winning best-selling books, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict, Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter, and my newest release book, Dial Up the Dream, Making Your Daughter's Journey to Adulthood the Best for Both of You. You can find both of these books wherever books are sold. And you can find other great resources and contact me at ColleenO'Grady.com. And that has 2 L's and 2 E's.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.